Right, the klaxon's gone. Day five and Who's Calling Christian? We're up to 26 celebrities on our fifth day. Still another week to go. Let's find out who's taken us to 27. Good morning. Who's calling Christian?
It's Steve Batchel and Helen Glover.
Wow, it's a twosome.
Wow.
It's a two-for-one deal this morning on Friday. Steve and Helen, good morning.
Good morning.
And also, can I just say, congratulations on getting married recently.
Thank you very much.
Oh, so it wasn't that long ago. I saw you on the front cover of Hello or one of the magazines.
We got back from honeymoon last night.
Did you?
Yes, we did.
Wow. That's a rapid turnaround. And you're up at 8 in the morning. What's going on?
Well, do you know what? We both had jet lag, so we were both up at 4 anyway.
Oh, I see. Where did you go? Did you go somewhere? I'm guessing it was somewhere out in the desert somewhere, staying under a tree with being married to Steve, Helen. What was the honeymoon?
We were actually staying on a remote island for a while. In Mexico, in the Sea of Cortez, so I learned to dive, and we went trekking, we found rattlesnakes, we went swimming with sea lions. It was amazing.
Fantastic. What a great honeymoon.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Now, being with an active guy like Steve, was there any kind of downtime whatsoever? Or when you say you were on the Sea of Cortez, you were actually in the Sea of Cortez?
There's no downtime, really. But actually, I think I was the one that was kind of driving that the most, because I've stopped training since Rio. I've not been doing the rowing training, so I think my energy levels are kind of still there, expecting to be training every day. So I was the one that was kind of waking up and going, right, should we swim out to here and then walk up that rock face and then do this? But yeah, it was good. We both like doing the same things, which helped.
Yeah, I'm absolutely knackered now. I've never been so tired after a trip in my entire life, and it was my honeymoon.
Well, Steve, this is the joy of being with a younger partner, right?
Yeah, apparently so.
Steve, how is your wife's gold medal from Rio now?
It's a bit personal, isn't it? It's
repaired. It's in a lot. I don't know if all of your listeners will have heard, but we were out and about, and Helen had her medal, and I managed to drop it onto concrete and put a rather nasty looking ding in it. But thankfully, my local jeweller was very, very kind and managed to get it sorted overnight. Otherwise, I would have been in so much trouble.
How did you drop it?
I'm not really sure.
It does happen all the time. If I take it to the school, if I take it anywhere, someone's going to drop it. But it just so happened that it was Steve, and so more people knew about it.
Did it cost you a lot to get repaired, Steve, or did someone do you a little cheeky deal?
It cost no pounds. But I think my local jeweller was so flabbergasted that I turned up with a genuine gold medal. I wanted to he didn't charge me, bless him.
I'm sure. That's the fifth one we've had this week. You need to be careful with these gold medals. And, Helen, when you said you take it to school, what do you mean? Do you get, like, a free parking spot outside the school if you just flash the gold medal?
Yeah. No, I take it in. I think it's really important to go into schools and communities and just kind of show them, because I think the first Olympic medal I ever saw was the one that I won in London, and I think it's really great if kids can see it and have aspirations to, I mean, maybe try and do sports or try to go to the Olympics. And so I try to take it as many places as I can while it's sort of fresh in the memories of the children at school.
And also, I mean, you must have been inspired when you were a kid watching Olympians. Who was it for you that turned you on to, like, you'd like to do some of that with your life?
Yeah, I mean, I was always really inspired, but I very much was of the opinion of this happens to other people. It doesn't happen to someone like me. I was just a normal kid growing up in Cornwall. I felt very far away, actually, from the rest of the country. I was, you know, you're 6 hours from London when you're living in Penzance, and it didn't feel like something that would happen to me. And that's the message I try to say to people, is it could be you. It's normal people. It's not superhumans. It happens to. It's people who work really, really hard. And so, yeah, that's kind of the message I tried to say.
Do you know what? If I had a gold medal, an Olympic gold medal, I would wear that thing everywhere. I'd never not be wearing it. I'd be permanently in it, just on the train, on the bus. I'd want everyone. If you weren't someone like that, I think that's incredible. Guys, who's asked you to give us a call? Thanks so much for calling in this morning, especially jet-lagged and the day after getting back from your honeymoon. But who's asked you to give us a call?
So we're calling on behalf of the World Land Trust, which is an organisation that I am a patron of. And they have a remarkable scheme whereby you can buy acres of forest around the world to protect them, to make sure that they don't get essentially cut down. You can usually get an acre of rainforest for £100, which is pretty good because we're losing more than an acre of rainforest every single second around the world. But they have one particular appeal at the moment, which I think is a really, really important one. In India, forests are disappearing at an ever faster rate. And because the reserves are getting smaller and smaller and more fragmented, it makes it much harder for the large animals like elephants and tigers that need to be able to roam over really big distances throughout their lives. So what they're doing is they're creating a corridor between the Eastern and Western Ghats reserves. And that small corridor of land, which is going to be reforested, is going to be vital for the movement of these animals. And it could really help secure the future of Asian elephants and Bengal tigers in the region.
So what can people do then? We can buy acres of this protected land that's very important for them?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we both love about the World Land Trust so much is that you know where your money's going. You know, if you actually make a donation to the World Land Trust, then you know that a set amount of land is going to be protected, and protected in a really good way as well. They make sure that there are custodians of the land in the local area, that it's not going to be something that is as a detriment to local people, but something that's very much a benefit for them. So people get in touch with worldlandtrust.org. They can make a donation there. You know, you can raise money to try and help, and it will genuinely make a difference.
That's a great idea. Richard, do you fancy going 50-50? We can own an acre out there.
Let's do it.
I love the idea of owning land. People going, what do you do with it out in India? It's got some Bengal tigers on it.
Well, also, the thing about going 50-50 is pretty prescient right now because they have match fortnight starting next week, which means that everything you give is going to be matched by a commercial sponsor and will automatically double. So now is the time to get involved.
All right, do you know what? I'm going to go and do that this weekend. I think that's a great idea. So everyone check it out. It's World Land Trust. It's a charity that they're supporting. It sounds like a great cause as well. Now, this question we're going to ask for both of you is every celebrity that gives us a call on this feature, they set a question for the next person. So actually, this is for both of you, Steve and Helen. Dion Dublin, former footballer, now co-host of Homes Under the Hammer, left this question. Did you have a worse first car than the one he had? His first car was a 1.1 Austin Maestro. So first of all, Steve, what did you have?
I would think mine would be worse than that. Yeah, I had a Mini, a 1970 Mini.
Yeah, but they're cool with the Italian car. Job. That's a cool car.
Oh, yeah, but we're not talking about some flash Mini Cooper here. We're talking about a bright orange Mini with, I don't think any of the panels were the same colour as the other one.
Oh, all right, one of those.
One of the panels had been painted with a paintbrush by hand, and you could see all the brush strokes all over it. Before, you could look through and see the road below you as you're driving along.
But a lot of fun, right, to drive when you pass your test?
Oh, it's great when you're 18 years old. That it is your freedom.
Yeah,
I think it cost £120, and we had to push it more than we drove it, I think.
Helen, what was it for you?
Yeah, it sounds like mine was better than... I don't know much about cars, but I think I did better than Steve. I had a Ford Fiesta, and I remember I got it when I started teaching. I was a PE teacher before I started rowing, and I do remember several times having to walk, embarrassed, past all my students because they had broken down. The school was at the top of the hill, and they used to break down at the bottom of the hill. They used to get there every day and have to walk the rest. And all my students would see me in the morning. But it was okay. It was all right.
Helen, you must have tried as a PE teacher then. This would have been a great PE kind of test for the kids to get
well,
out
kind of
and
like
push the car.
I kind of like to take it as a moral story, you know, walk to school, walk up the hill, but really my car had broken
just had
down.
You just had a knackered teacher's car. Yeah. That's what you had. Well, listen, guys, it's been a joy to speak to you both. Congratulations on getting married and also supporting a very, very good charity and a worthwhile cause. It's the World Land Trust. Check it out online. We need a question from you guys now before we go.
Yes. Okay. Well, we're going to join our two disciplines and ask if you could take any one animal with that animal's superpowers to the Olympics, what animal would it be?
That is a great question. I love this. Straight away, as a boxing fan, I'm thinking a kangaroo in boxing, which would be fantastic. A monkey on the high bars, Steve, surely would be great, right? In the gymnastics.
This is nice. I'm really liking your thinking.
Yeah, this is a fantastic question. What would you go for, Steve, your knowledge of the animal kingdom and obviously being with Helen?
Yeah, I'd probably go to the weightlifting, and I would take Dynastes Hercules, which is always said to be the strongest animal in the world. It's a beetle which can lift 850 times its own body weight. So that would probably win, I think.
What a great name. What's the name of it?
It's called the Hercules beetle, but in its scientific name is Dynastes Hercules.
Dynastes Hercules. Fantastic. Sounds like a grinder name. It's a great name, though. Helen, what animal with a superpower would you take to the Olympics for Team GB?
I guess I would try and win the swimming, maybe, with something like what's the fastest fish?
The sailfish.
The sailfish, yeah.
Don't worry. You better brush up on this, Helen.
I was going to say sailfish, and I thought about it.
He snapped at you there. The honeymoon is over. He snapped to you like couples do at Trivial Pursuit there. Sort of different side to Steve. This is Steve and Helen. It's been lovely to talk to you. Enjoy the weekend. I hope you get over your jet lag.
Thank you very much indeed.
All right, take care. Have a nice weekend, guys. Thanks a lot. Absolute Radio.